Mercy and peace be unto you all from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for the message this afternoon is taken from John chapter 20. We read selective verses beginning at verse 19. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. If you don't forgive them, they are not forgotten." This is our text. It was after the crucifixion. The disciples were hiding in fear of the Jews. The cross was empty. The master was dead. And the tomb was empty. Peter and John had seen it, and also some of the women had seen it. They said, "Jesus is alive, risen." They wanted to believe that. They wanted to have hope, but it was all so confusing. You can just imagine, it happened so fast. They didn't know what to think. But this they did know. The Jews were still out there, and maybe emboldened, since they had gotten Pilate to give them what they wanted. Maybe now things were headed from bad to worse. Though it was hard to imagine anything worse than what it already was. So together, they hunkered down in fear of death, hoping just to make it through the night. And our thought was, we'll worry about tomorrow. Much the same thing, my friends, is happening these days. People are all confused. Our country is in something of an upheaval. And it all happened so fast. Not long ago, life was going on normal. And then it wasn't. This pandemic has people hunkered down in fear of death. Isolated, separated from each other. You know, there's no social gathering, social distancing, and all of that stuff. Now, news people are telling us that there's a fourth wave upon us. And some states actually are starting to experience the effects of a fourth wave of this virus. Does that news make you feel good? Nobody said yes. Well, then, if not, I've got some great news for you. The cancel culture is outlawing and in some cases actually making it illegal some of the things that we Christians hold near and dear to us. This includes actually restricting and outlawing Christian gatherings, especially a worship gathering. There's a real battle going on against Christianity. And there's a real war going on by unbelievers who are making progress in restricting who we are and what we believe. And this is the same thing that the apostles encountered. But fear not, my friends. We are winning the battle. In seminary, as students in seminary, we were taught not to use ourselves in sermon examples. But I'm going to take the liberty here, forgive me, to use myself and my family as an example. And I'm going to tell you whether you forgive me or not anyway. Let me explain with this personal story how we all are winning the battle today, every day. Years ago, when Chris and I lived in Tampa, and I was ministering there, we got word that our oldest son, he lived in Buffalo, New York, and we got word through some nurses at the hospital, I think somebody we knew back in New York State, that Aaron had been in a serious accident and he'd been taken to ECMC in Buffalo, New York. He had already, Chris had gone up to stay with him while he was in the hospital, and he'd already had several operations by that time. Chris was staying with Aaron then to be with him in the hospital. Easter Sunday came, and I was still in Tampa preaching. So I was in the sacristy on Easter Sunday getting ready, putting on my vestments, preparing for the celebration of Christ's resurrection from the dead. And while I was getting dressed, one of the elders came in the sacristy and very gently told me that he had just gotten word a few moments ago that Aaron was taken into emergency surgery. At that point, the elder told me the doctors weren't sure that he would even make it through surgery. Even saying this, it still chokes me up, forgive me. But the elder put his arm around my shoulders, and he prayed for me while I prayed through my tears. I didn't want to go into the church then. It wasn't Easter Sunday. With that news, I couldn't even think. All I wanted to do at that time was to get on an airplane and get to Buffalo to be with my wife and my son. I didn't want to go into the church and preach. How could I worship when this was going on in my life? And the elder hugged me, a dear, loving hug, calmed me down, and encouraged me, and reminded me, "Pastor, you know, you can't get a flight right away. You can't go from here to the airport and just get on an airplane like that. It doesn't work that way." And I realized it anyway. So he kind of stepped back, put his hands on my shoulders, and said, "Pastor," it was almost like he was shaking me, "but Pastor, you can do it. You can do this." So what was I supposed to do? There was nothing else I could do. And I gave it all to God as we finished our prayers. And I went into the church and greeted the people with our Easter greeting as usual. The people who I looked at them, and that changed everything, because those were the people that loved me and wanted me to be there telling them about Jesus' resurrection at that time. The service itself turned out to be wonderful, thanks to the Holy Spirit. Chris was with Aaron, and I was there preaching God's word to the people who needed to hear it. And by the Holy Spirit's help, I preached a powerful sermon. I preached on Christ's victory over death. I've got reservations that afternoon, and following day, Monday, I got on a flight and went to Buffalo. When I arrived in Aaron's hospital room, Chris was there with him. And he was sitting up in bed and doing well with his recovery. I just couldn't believe it. The three of us prayed prayers of thanks to God. Oh, that felt so good. It wasn't normal for Easter, but I think it was the best Easter celebration that the three of us have ever experienced, because God was there with us. And God was watching over our son when we needed God's help. Our victory was Christ's victory. And it was the perfect gift for Aaron at that time. So we look back at the apostles, and we're not surprised at the confusion, the uncertainty, and the fear that they experienced all along in their road with Christ. What is a surprise, though, when we hear the apostles speaking in Acts, we heard them in the book of Acts where Peter and the others were not afraid of the Jews now, but now standing up to them, defying them. And when they were beaten as Jesus was beaten before he was crucified, they rejoiced that they were counted worthy to suffer for him. That's quite a change. And that change for them started for the disciples that night behind those locked doors. When Jesus appeared to them and said, "Peace be with you." Peace for our troubled and fearful hearts. Peace for our confused and uncertain minds. Peace in the midst of a most unpeaceful world. A world where Christians are being defiled. A professor at seminary once just said, the whole can all be described in a few words. It's a dark and sinful world we live in. And yet we're given peace. Peace in a world where there is hatred and death, then and now. But how we respond is most certainly changed. Now we joyfully say and can say, Jesus is risen to bring forgiveness into a world of sin and darkness, into a life of death. And that's the very gift he gave his disciples that night in that dark, locked room. The forgiveness of their sins, the promise of life, so their hearts and minds could be at peace. Then, after giving them what they needed, he commissioned them to unlock those doors and go out and give peace, his peace, to others. To go out and do the same as he did, to preach the good news to all who would hear it. Just as Jesus came into a world of sin and death, his forgiveness and life that caused the disciples to go out and do the same. They went to those who were hunkered down in the fear of death, and they set them free. He also gave them more. Jesus gave them his Holy Spirit to be with them when they went out into the world, to give them power, changing them from cowering, frightened, confused disciples to bold, confident, certain apostles. And that's what happened to us as well. For the very same Peter, who even denied knowing Jesus the night of his crucifixion, was one of those who was locked in that room in fear. And Peter would later go on to boldly and confidently say, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ," and tell the whole world about it, that he was able to visit. Now, according to his great mercy, he has caused us here to be born again to a living hope in the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven, right in heaven for us. We're born again. We're baptized in Christ. Our sins can no longer condemn us because the grip of death has been broken by Christ himself. In Christ, we have an inheritance in heaven. So what we have and what we are here and now is not all there is. Because in Christ, we are a child of God. Therefore, when sin and death comes into this world, these things can no longer harm us because we have Christ and He is watching over us. We have been changed and we can live a changed life. We have who have been raised with Christ to a new life. Oh, yes. Yeah, y'all know there's struggles and trials we're going to go through in this life. And viruses, whatever. There are things that we must go through. But Peter says that too. And he had his share of troubles. But they are sent, Jesus says, not to destroy the flesh, not to destroy our faith, but to strengthen it like gold. Now we can turn to our Savior in every time of need and not be fearful. We know He's going to answer us. And we are assured at the end, the result is praise and glory and honor when Jesus comes again. When we receive the inheritance Jesus has for us, as I said just a minute ago, that kept in heaven there provided for us. The true blessing of God comes through the Word when we hear it or we read it. Miracles and signs and wonders shows us a God who couldn't be held by death. We need the Word that Jesus spoke to His disciples that night. His Word of peace. So when we are struggling with sin ourselves and we feel its weight like our disciples, we hear the words of Jesus, "I forgive you all your sins." What we in our sins deserve, Jesus took to the cross for us. And all we have to do is just say, even if the words are hard to come, "Jesus, forgive me." They are forgiven, and He forgets those sins, never to remember them anymore. His word of peace. So when we are struggling with the fear of death, we hear again from Jesus, "Because I live, you too will live." Death is not the end of us who die in the one who rose from the dead to give us life. God's word changed those cowering disciples and empowered them to go and preach the word to the people. It is the word of God's Holy Spirit that now changes us. So when faced with troubles and trials and these invisible viruses, as I said, the threats of persecution with our own sin, our own unworthiness, whatever the devil, the world, and our own sinful flesh can throw against us, we have what is more sure, the word and peace of Jesus Christ. You can count on it. As they say, you can take it to the bank. We know His victory, and His victory is our victory. For we have a God who has overcome death that has gripped the world. We have a God who is in control of a world that looks out of control. And boy, recently hasn't it at times looked out of control. But if during this time, it happens that we don't like what we see around us in this world, what crisis brings to us, and what this pandemic crisis may still bring to us, just know this. Our Savior is not disappointed in us. He is not frowning upon us. He's not angry with us. Oh, praise Jesus. He is using this time to strengthen us and use us in our faith. So remember those disciples in that room. Jesus didn't reprimand them when he appeared. He loved them. He didn't scold them. He gave them what they needed. And he does each day, my friends, for us, each and every one of us. This is why we can say we are victorious. We do experience the victory of Christ because he gives it to us. Because we need peace, he has peace. Because we who need forgiveness, Jesus has forgiveness. Because we who need love, Jesus has love for us. Jesus is love. So we receive what we need from him who died and rose to provide all blessings for us that we need in this life. Starting that Easter Sunday, those doors were unlocked. The door of our heart, the door of the grave, the door of heaven is all open to us now. For all who believe. You are free. You are free to go out and give what you have received. Go live, not in fear, but in faith. For Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Amen.